Welcome to this podcast with me, Ian Welsh. I am in Marrakesh at the IFC's manufacturing conference, and I'm with Rubana Huck, President of the Bangladesh Garment Manufacturers and Exporters Association and Managing Director of the Mohammadi Group. Welcome to the podcast, Rubana.
Thank you, Ian.
We're going to talk a little bit about the Bangladeshi apparel sector and some of the challenges and the opportunities there that you have currently. So perhaps you could outline the current principal challenges that you see for the apparel sector in Bangladesh.
The current challenges that actually surround the apparel sector in Bangladesh include price, skill, the image deficit that we have, automation, and of course, sustainability. If I talk about the price, yes, we are not paid the right price. If you talk about skills, we stand at a 40 to 45% efficiency at a national level. If you talk about sustainability, we are addressing environmental sustainability issues. As far as the continuation of remediation and basic compliance going to the next standard is involved, we are trying our level best to set a national standard there. I think for very long, the national context was missing. So while after Rana Plaza, all the remediation happened under the supervision of Accord and Alliance, the European and the North American brands all got together and formed these two initiatives. We sort of, felt that it was time for us to form a national ready-made garments RMG Sustainability Council. So we call it RSC. This is in continuation with what Accord has done so far. So while Accord leaves the country by end of May, this new entity RSC is going to take over, and it consists of the brands, trade unions, and the industry. So it's a tripartite collaborative monitoring platform where we are pulling in and a lot of our national context in, so that we don't end up having fire alarms which are UL listed and very advanced and they don't work anymore because of humidity issues.
Let's think a bit about the progress. We're 6 years on from Rana Plaza. What have been the milestones and progress from your perspective since then?
I think Bangladesh has ended up being the most compliant manufacturing hub of the world. We have so many compliant factories now. And the standards set by Accord and Alliance weren't just basic. They were aligned with the highest international standards. Therefore, our factories are really, really good. What's also interesting is, instead of having it prescribed to us, the Bangladeshi factories have gone ahead and turned green. So we have more than 101 factories, which are LEED certified green factories. We have more than 25 gold and platinum LEED factories. Therefore, it's interesting for us to see how we have basically subscribed to compliance, actually sustainability, whereas the structural, electrical, fire, and everything else were prescribed. So we've learned to cope, we've learned to evolve, we've learned to grow. All that we need to do right now is just sustain the progress that has so far been made. And of course, prepare again for Industry 4.0 in the process.
For the sector, what are you doing to ensure that you maintain your position globally in the apparel sector? I mean, it's a fast-moving business. Obviously, it's very important for the Bangladesh economy. What are you doing to ensure that you retain your position within the global apparel sector?
Ian, currently we're having challenges of product diversification. Value addition. So in many cases, what's happening is there is a mismatch of products being imported and the products that we are ready to export. So for instance, the US-China trade war should have benefited us a lot more than what it actually has. Vietnam has gained almost 17% and we haven't. It's because the top 30 products that China exports to the US, we have almost 16 overlapping with them, but none of those product categories have actually grown. It's a huge challenge for us to add value to our products. So we need to be much more mindful of the direction that we're heading for. So we're monitoring weekly exports and we're checking out which product is actually making it to the world market most. We are still exporting huge t-shirts. It's still the biggest export item, but the value is dropping. Man-made fiber is coming up. So we mostly export cotton-based product and man-made fibers is much more on demand. So we have to align ourselves with the global expectation and demands and go forward. So all we're trying to do is just monitor the trends, the global trends, better our research and development, and also focus on wastes being reduced and reskilling our workers to go to the next level.
That leads very well onto, I think, the challenges and the potential opportunities from automation, the Industry 4.0 technologies that we hear so much about. Will they allow the Bangladeshi garment sector to become more innovative and to be able to respond more quickly to the demands that you've been talking about?
Well, there's no other option but to be innovative at this point. I think everybody just wants fast reaction, fast response, not necessarily fast fashion anymore, though. So it's more tailor-made. We have huge capacity. These all have to be turned into modular lines because the consumption pattern is changing. Now the customer wants a lot of customization. It's a lot more personalized than it was before. So our closets are shrinking. We're buying more value-added product. We are recycling. We are reusing. We are exchanging. So I think the beauty of the entire industry now lies somewhere else. It's in becoming innovative and yet retaining the value of labor, because there are 4.1 million people working in this industry in Bangladesh. And with automation, in case if they even lose out partially, it's a huge blow to the economy, because the ready-made garment sector supports 82% of the economy. And it involves a lot of employment. So all these workers are basically facing uncertain future. So what we need to do is rebrand labor and send a very careful message out to the world and say, you know, go green, go human.
I'm interested that you see the direction of the sector moving towards customization, towards higher value products potentially. What evidence do you have for that change that's really happening across the world?
Well, the world consumption has been revised to 1.2% growth this time. So automatically you see that its consumption is less. But when we monitor our exports, we can see that more value-added product like women's anoraks, you know, jackets and man-made fiber, these are going up by almost value and price by almost more than 100%. So that's our hint that, you know, we should be moving on to better products. Transformations don't happen overnight. It's not a cosmetic treatment. So it'll require a couple of seasons to do it, at the least. I don't know whether we have time to turn around so fast. So to be that adaptive, we need to think outside the box and maybe really brainstorm and see what academia has to say, whether there's enough research. If not, like, can we initiate research? So having a collaborative, consultative group with people or organizations who are actually aligned with Industry 4.0 would immensely help us. And I welcome any affiliation in that regard.
Sure. So I guess the challenge is then to move an industry in Bangladesh, which has gone very much down the route of the fast fashion route, as you mentioned, but to change and move that towards greater value, bringing the potential for a better price for your members. But that's a massive thing to change.
Yes, and especially when brands like Patagonia actually go out there and say, don't buy my jacket, mend it, then you know that the ultimate change is happening. When I hear my kids saying that they're shopping online all the time and that they don't want to buy an extra pair of t-shirt, the alarm bell somewhere rings, because that's reality. The next generation is acutely conscious of the environment, quite rightfully so, acutely conscious of consumption and waste. So we have to be respectful towards the tomorrow people and make sure that we adhere to what they have to say and how they want us to comply with. So I don't think there's any two ways of thinking about not automating or not going to the next level. It's just there. Mm-hmm. We have to make sure that we create more jobs and we find an innovative way of at least making sure that the lives of these 4.1 million workers don't get affected.
How then do you see this working? If you've got 4.1 million workers at the same time as moving towards greater automation, how are these workers are going to be reskilled? What sort of things will they be doing differently in the future?
I think, Ian, there's no other answer but education to this. So constant engagement in education is something that we will have to invest on, especially with the workers. More than 100 workers now go to Asian University for Women in Chittagong. It's an international university. They're taught by top-notch Western faculty there. when the program started, we just couldn't believe that it would work. But the first cohort actually graduates next year. So that's the moment of pride. So it is possible to educate workers. It is possible to reskill them. There are alternative employment that we could be leading them towards. For instance, they could be health aid. They could also probably do limited data labeling, and they should get data dividend.
It's fascinating. It's an industry that is changing. It was fast fashion, but it's certainly a fast-moving industry. And it's going to be really interesting to see how it changes over the coming years, particularly with the introduction of greater and new technologies, the Industry 4.0 that everyone talks about. But for now, Rubana Huck, President of the Bangladesh Garment Manufacturers and Exporters Association, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.